meaning that there is a flow when it comes to money. So there's a real balance between building assets and letting money work for you, but also being in flow. And I had not learned that yet.
If you're ready to say yes to your wealthiest and most abundant life, overflowing bank accounts, and a deep sense of inner fulfillment, well, then you are definitely in the right place. Welcome to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Helena Grace Donald, and I'm a money mindset expert, success, and business coach. But really, all you need to know is that I am obsessed with helping women feel safe and in total flow around money. So let's do this. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. And I cannot even begin to describe to you how excited I am to have Dr. Erin here, because she probably doesn't even realize it, but she was a huge inspiration for me when I was busting through some of my beliefs around money and mindset. And she epitomizes just elegance and beauty and oozes this grace and divinity, but yet she's grounded in her spirituality and yet isn't afraid to show her wealth and abundance either. And I think that's a beautiful balance and an inspiration to so many who are afraid to do that or have negative beliefs around that. But before we dig right in, I'd love you to introduce yourself, Dr. Erin, and just share about what you're up to and your journey to becoming a doctor of divinity.
Oh, I love that. I love that you bring up beauty, because I was listening to, I've been listening to a lot of the mentors that have been in my life over the last little bit, because it's been a little bit of a turbulent times. And I was listening to someone speak about Plato and how Plato described beauty and his definition of beauty. And it's very different than our definition of beauty in the magazines per se. His definition of beauty is really somebody who really is allowing the divine to come through them. And they're so authentic and so in source, and it radiates and oozes out of every cell of your body. And that is, for me, what true beauty is. You could be a beautiful woman and look all that, but just your attitude or mindset isn't right, and you become instantly not attractive. So on that note, I don't know how I would define myself in the realm of beauty, but I think if we don't see ourselves as the most beautiful person on this planet, then we got work to do, because it's all divine. It's all God. So I'm a doctor of divinity. And that, what does that mean exactly? That means I know everything. No, just kidding. It means that we're considered doctors because we actually heal through revealing the truth. Just like you go to your doctor to get a prescription for medication, you come to a practitioner or a doctor of divinity to prescribe mental treatment. It's part of, we're part of the lineage of mental cure movement in Europe, all the way back into Greek oracle, you know, truth. We're universal law, metaphysics, energy, understanding that we are spirit. That is our true nature. And we are here to guide energy upon universal law to demonstrate and manifest our highest expression, the greatest product to produce, ourselves. And that's really what we're doing. We're developing and producing ourselves. And no matter what the economical ups and downs are of life or whatever, you can't take away thyself.
Wow, that is so important with what's going on in the world right now. How are you staying so balanced and so grounded? Like, before we even got on this call, you're like, I'm not affected by this. I'm in my power. How have you gotten to that place of just oozing grace and ease throughout these turbulent times?
A shit ton of work.
Thank you for saying that, because we all need to be reminded that we all have to go through it. Yes.
Yeah. So look, a lot of whoever's listening out there, there's going to be some people that went through the 2008, and you know, we just forget. We had 9/11. We've had Y2K. We've had 2008 was the Great Recession. It was close to a Great Depression. And we've had SARS. We've had AIDS. Remember back, you were way too young for that. I mean, this is just another thing. This is like the ebb and flow of life. And this is actually very predictable. I mean, we have pretty much every 10 years, we have a financial meltdown. You know, health is becoming more and more meltdowns. We've had all kinds of meltdowns around health. So for me, it's, you know, I look back in 2008 and I remember very specifically being scared to death. And I remember there was an exact day and I had to just, I was going on a walk and I was looking over this city. I was actually down in Arizona because I was going to go check on a bunch of investments I had. And I remember thinking, I very well may lose everything to my name. And I remember in that moment making a decision that I was going to survive. No matter what, I would survive. And I thought, if I'm going to survive, and not only survive, but thrive, I'm going to have to get my mind right even more. So I decided that day to turn off the television. I've never turned back on the television since.
Wow, you don't watch TV at all?
Zero. Zero.
Wow.
Yeah.
Including Netflix, including
zero.
TV. Wow.
I have watched documentaries on Netflix. Every once in a while I get my son's passcode and I'll watch a documentary. but the point is that today, and the reason why during the tumultuous times that we've been through, that there has not been a moment of fear that's gone through my blood.
That is incredible. That is amazing. And do you feel like that is because you distance yourself completely from what's going on outside? Or is it the internal work that you're consistently doing? Or both, I guess.
Both. Yeah. Just really, I mean, look, that's the whole work that we're doing here. As anyone that, like, as I train women as being spiritual leaders and coaches, our primary work is to release the limited beliefs and get back to the I am, the all-powerful identity. So that's the primary work. The second also is to no longer place any power, any of your identity, any of your anything out in the world. Because as soon as you make anything outside of yourself as your higher source, meaning your money, the economy, the world, the validation, your relationship, any of it, your health, your body, because you're not your body, then you instantaneously will also create it as your suffering. If you make it your joy, it'll also become your suffering. If you make it your source of anything, your worth, you'll be on a roller coaster. So the primary work is to only be grounded in source within, and that's where you become unstoppable, unshakable, and completely unmovable by what goes on out here.
That is amazing, because we're really speaking to women right now. I know there's a lot of female listeners out there, and I've certainly been through it. I continue to go through it. I'll put my hands up and say, I still have to check myself, because we are programmed for our worthiness to be dependent on all of these external factors. How beautiful you are, how skinny you are, what size clothing you wear, what clothing you wear altogether, what car you drive, how much money you have, all of these external things. How have you gotten to this incredible place of simply being grounded in source? We might be here for a while as you share that, but I know it's so...
I think it's a great question. I think there's all different roads and they all lead to one destination. But I always say that I think that meditation, of course, is the foundation to all of it. But I would say that it would take you 20 years to do in meditation what you could do in a couple years if you dove really deep into your emotional trauma work. Because when you dive deep into your trauma work, you can begin to spot and have real big epiphanies and insights of the limited beliefs that you decided in those emotional traumatic incidences. And in that, it takes a quantum leap, in my opinion, around kind of understanding the power that you have.
You are speaking to my heart, because I talk about this a lot. And I know we both do subconscious work with all of our clients and whoever comes across our work. And I'd love us to talk more about the subconscious, because meditation and your daily journal and your daily practices are brilliant. I'm all for that. But there comes a point where you are simply, I believe, putting a Band-Aid on a wound. And until we heal the wound, it is going to continue to fester, and it will feel like hitting a brick wall, whether that is in your finances or your relationships or whatever it is that you choose to want to manifest. So can you explain what that even means for some of the women out there who are going, what does the subconscious mean? Yeah. What do you mean I need to go and look at my traumas?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think there's another point there in that there's a lot of people that will do a lot of spiritual work and they get into this ethereal realm and they get all blissed out. But as soon as they come back into the real world, they get triggered and upset and lose their S. I can't actually swear.
Can say shit. I'll just say it for you.
Okay. If you're, another thing is if you're dealing with trauma and stressful times, like a lot of us have been lately, doing your trauma work can help you deal with what's here and now instead of pulling in. A lot of stuff going on is getting triggered from things that are living in people's DNA and their epigenetics of past life, all their fears coming in, times they were in famine and things like that. So what is the subconscious? How do we clear it out, if you will? How do we reprogram it? Let's deal with that. Okay. So I often use a very famous analogy. I'll say it again and again because it never gets old. And it is the computer analogy. So anyone out there listening, if you're listening on your phone or computer, we all have those coffee cups. Every single one of us, by the way.
I don't know if you can see it on camera right now, but I have my little Hello Gorgeous pink on brand coffee cup.
So hilarious. Okay. So if you take a look at your phone or computer and you touch it, that's considered the hardware. Okay. If you touch your body, that's considered the hardware. It is how many, you know, you only have so many neurons and the bone structure, and this is the hardware. If you take a look at your computer or phone and you, inside of it's what's called the software. We get those annoying software updates because that is what runs the system, right? So same with us. We have what's considered our programming, our belief systems, and those come in through our DNA, our epigenetics, the memory of all lifetimes. That's why you don't have to beat your heart. That's why you don't have to do the mathematical equations. Thank goodness for the subconscious. But with that becomes memory that does not necessarily serve. Okay. So the next part of the computer or phone is the memory. And you can have, you know, a lot of memory, not a lot of memory, whatever. We have memory, whether you want to call it epigenetics and it stays in all cells, or what do you want to call it, more woo-woo and say Akashic records. The reality is we have memory, and it's all saved through mental pictures. Okay. Just like a pixel in a computer, we have so many different fragments of a memory that it creates pictures, okay? Then you can have the greatest computer, the greatest software, the greatest memory, but without the operator for the computer, it won't work. So same with us. You can have, you're not your body, you're not your programming, you're not your memory, you are a spiritual being, and you're operating through this thing called the body and the memory of this body, okay? So what happens with a computer? You get glitches in your computer. Your computer doesn't work all the time. You can get the little spinning ball. You can get, you know, poor internet connection. You can get too many tabs open. You know, it gets fragmented. You got to clear the cache. You can get a virus, no pun intended, right? So for us, what happens with us? We can get confused. We get overwhelmed. We get sad. We get, you know, all this, we get, what do we call it? ADHD or whatever it is, right? All these things that happen with
overwhelm,
whatever. Yeah. So how do we deal with this? Just like your computer, you would clear it out. You open up all the tabs that are open. You complete the cycles. You shut them down. You clear out the cache. You may have to reboot your computer, update your software. Same thing. And that's what we do in the subconscious work. We complete all the emotional traumas in your life that are holding those tabs open, that are playing behind the scenes like puppet strings, that are having you play out the same scenarios over and over again. Like, for example, your relationship with money, you probably have a story that keeps coming out. Or with relationships, you keep doing the same thing over, maybe with different partners, but it's the same thing, right? Same with your health. People have chronic health issues over and over again. So we want to open up all those tabs in the computer or your subconscious, complete those emotional ties and neutralize them and release the commands around it. We also want to clear it out, upgrade your software by knowing truth every day. And we want to basically get you into a better program. We need a major upgrade. We're going to what's the most recent one? The Mojave, I think, or Catalina. I don't know.
You're way further ahead than me because I normally hit ignore on those update software things.
We have an E4 trauma method that I use, which took me 22 years to formulate. And it's basically we go in and we neutralize the mental pictures attached with the trauma. And basically we go into the past lives around those mental pictures as well and neutralize those. And in the triumph over those emotional traumas, most people have their purpose and calling out of that. Cool.
Yeah. And that's amazing that you even brought up the generational programming, because I truly believe that we are carrying inherited beliefs, especially around money for us and women, because we are in this amazing growth phase for us as women, where it was only a generation or two generations before us where women were completely disempowered around money. We couldn't even own our own bank accounts. And here we are in this new growth phase where we actually have the freedom and power to grow and own our own businesses and be abundantly wealthy. But many of us are blocked emotionally, or we've inherited trauma around money. And could you speak a little bit into what some of those beliefs might be, or what they were even for yourself, so that we can bring up awareness around what a listener might actually be holding on to right now?
Sure. I think there's two things that hold people primarily back from money. And what I found is for most women, they're not motivated by money. They care about the feeling and the connection. So we have to get clear, is it what's their why and what's their motivation? Because sometimes they're doing it out of an inauthentic space of trying to keep up with the women that they see on Instagram or something like that, when really it's actually not really their motivation. So we need to actually restructure their motivation around what really works for them. But as far as the actual limited beliefs, I mean, so many different things go on. Like, I'm trying to think of some examples of exact clients. Like, I had a client who, she had trauma around, not like, you know, people think of trauma just when you get in a car accident or just when you're in some age. These traumas are, you could be traumatized when you're on the jungle gym in elementary school and a kid, you know, says something mean to you. You get so upset. And in that upsetness, you decide something limited about yourself or another. So one, like, for example, one client, she has some, you know, minor traumas around her parents yelling at her and things like that. And she just decided nothing really matters anyway. That was her command. She actually said that within, under her breath, in her high, high state of emotion, which informs the subconscious and puts a command in the subconscious. So it was like she just couldn't find the meaning behind her work, because she was like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. It's not going to work out anyway. You know what I mean? So it's just like something really basic about that, versus someone else where they actually saw someone get murdered over money, and they, in their subconscious, they're like, well, if I have money, I might get murdered. You know, it was a subconscious thing that even realized that it was playing out like that, right? So I think that we don't know. You can sit and analyze it all day and say, oh, I've got this story around money and let's reshape it, reframe it. And I hate that, because you don't know until you get in there and deal with your traumas. Majority of people don't know their commands. They don't know their limited story until they get into the actual process. And they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I told myself that. Oh my gosh, I can totally see how this is playing out, right? So it plays out in so many different ways. It's endless. Sometimes it's not, maybe it's self-worth issues. Maybe it's, you know, that they, you know, just, I mean, usually it comes down to self-worth in so many different ways. So self-worth, of course, is a primary thing. And then also getting clear of and getting people motivated by their why. Most women are more motivated about serving than they are about actually having the fancy car. They think they want the fancy car. They think they want those fancy clothes, but actually they're not really necessarily motivated by that. But when you actually see where they can leave a legacy or make a difference for their children or do something, they generally will become more motivated to make more money.
Do you feel like that might have something to do with why women find selling or sales particularly difficult? They find it feels really icky because of that belief around, I have to serve, I shouldn't be selling. And I think that can cause a lot of women to actually fall into the trap of giving away their services for free or completely downplaying their gifts. Is that something that you ever went through, or was there something that you had to do to shift into that?
Yeah. Space? And I know you know this. Look, the big transition shift of sales is realizing that it's service. Like, the greatest work I can do for a client is have them commit and pay money, because people aren't committed if there's not money generally. So if I'm helping a client get clear about what they truly want in life, and if I truly believe that my services and my community and my modalities will help them get what they want, it is in my ethical interest to, you know, help them commit to their dreams. So for me, sales has nothing to do with me getting something and everything for somebody else committing to themselves and what they really want out of life. So when you shift it into that, and I always think, if you don't believe in the product you're selling, quote, quote, you know, then you shouldn't be selling it. Because you haven't developed a good enough of a product or service that you, I know for a fact that what people will ever pay to work with me or be in my community, I give so much more than what it is, what they pay, that I have absolutely no fear whatsoever about, you know, presenting sales for someone.
Totally. And I think people are freaking out a lot in this time around, should I even be selling? Should I even be showing up? Should I just shut down my business? And I've been speaking a lot into this, that now is the time to show up more so than ever, that we are being called to serve and show up with light and integrity. But the most important thing is to be in alignment with it and to be in alignment with the way that you're selling or the prices that you're giving your products for.
This is such a great, I'm so glad you brought this up. So look, the reality is that there's an infinite, infinite wisdom inside of us that can overcome anything. And we have to begin to open our mind to realize that we can make money, we can flow with currency, because currency is a current, it's a flow. We can go into the law of currency, basically, which is basically giving and receiving. So right now it may not be time to receive, it's a time to give and serve. We literally just launched Soul Society Inner Circle, that is nonprofit, that is completely free. We are giving so much. I do a daily prayer call. The ambassadors do weekly Soul Circle sessions and support and take people through different processes. We have content. We have a book club. We have an app, all stuff, because this is the deal. The people that plant seeds right now in any hard time, you're either planting seeds of fear or planting seeds of prosperity. And the universal law works. There's a science to universal law, and it works and it works and it always works. It cannot not work. So we have to understand that if our mind has created the entire universe, the one mind, the divine mind, has created the entire universe. It's the backing of all creation. So that's who you are. That's the truth of who you are. Look, and if we were able to overcome anything, doesn't mean we don't feel the effects of what we've already created. But the truth is, we can never be totally effect of what we've created, because we always have choice, and we can always create something new. So if you're listening right now, look, I get it. You got to survive. So if you got to downsize, if you got to change bills, if you got to do whatever, get safe, get food, get whatever it is that you need to get, like, surviving. And then you got to turn off the phone, off the social media, turn off the fear, and then get into creating, pivoting, and basically innovating around everything you're doing. And the worst thing you can do is sit and just sit in the fear. Like, do something about it, and then go, you know what, that's all I can do at this point in time. Everything else is out of my hands. And start creating. Start creating, start serving. That's all. You got to get in flow.
I feel like screaming hell yes, but it'll be too loud for the mic. What would you say to the woman who's listening, who's going, yes, I believe in what you're saying. Yes, I want to be in that place, but I'm scared about money. How am I going to keep my business afloat? How am I going to feed my family? How do we first lean? Because I know that universal law of attraction is, we first have to feel the truth of it. We have to feel the trust. We have to feel the prosperity in order for us to become a magnet to it. What would you say to a woman who is so concerned with seeing the fruits of it first, that it's forgetting to feel it and trust it first?
So I think there's an important thing, a distinction in fear. Is the fear actually projecting in the future that is maybe unrealistic, or is it real fear? Like, if you really authentically are fearing, like, how am I going to pay my bills next month and how am I going to get food on the table? You got to handle that. That fear is telling you to take action. You need to deal with whatever you got to deal with. You got to go out, and sometimes you got to get humble and go take a job you don't want to take. Sometimes you got to do whatever it is to handle that fear. So if it's living out of a real fear, like, this is present in the moment, like, I'm going to deal with stuff, we want to honor that. We don't want to be delusional spiritualists and be like, just feel good and it's all going to work out. And that's possible if you have a really masterful consciousness. Okay. So we want to actually handle the fear and actually take action to deal with those things that you're really fearing about. And then we also, once you've handled it, You've taken the action. You've done whatever it is. You know you're going to survive. Then you want to begin to get into that, you know, high vibe thing. Do your inner work. Do your trauma work. Spend time. Look, it's a great time. If there's only so much time you can handle stuff right now, take some hours every day right now. You know, do some trauma work or at least do some guided meditations and begin to go within, begin to journal. There's so many books. There's so many. I mean, I have podcasts, 200 podcasts. I can binge them. You know what I mean? Like you, there's no excuse. I don't have a problem with anyone complaining if they're saying I'm venting so that I'm going to take action. But if you're just venting and just morassing in the fear, I don't have any pity for you. I'm sorry, but I just don't.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. And I think this applies even when there's no pandemic happening. And this is something I speak about is a lot of people are trying to manifest this dream abundant life and manifest the money. But there is a big disconnect between where they are now and where they're heading. And there's a lot of fear around actually supporting yourself and taking action and earning money in a way that perhaps serves in bridging that gap. They think, well, let me just show up and I want it to have already happened in this thing that I'm manifesting in the future, but they're not actually allowing themselves to support themselves in bridging the gap, whether that's taking a part-time job or whether that's doing something that serves the greater good so they can take incremental steps. Instead, people get disillusioned because they haven't woken up and it's already happened. So I feel like so many people are going to look at you and listen to you and already do, and they are so inspired by you and think, well, did she just wake up as this goddess? Did she just wake up with these beliefs? I would love, because I personally know it and I know how inspirational it is, I would love you to share a little bit about your story of how you even got to where you are today and the things you've broken through to be the woman that you are today.
Yeah, thank you. If I can do it anywhere, do it. Okay, so I grew up like in a hippie commune in the hills of Santa Barbara. My mom had no money whatsoever. We literally, it was like a really special occasion when we would get even ice cream in the house. We went to the thrift store for our clothes. We had no money whatsoever. As I grew up, I waited tables in high school. I was bulimic from the time I was 17 to 20 because I'd been date raped at 16. My parents got divorced when I was very young. I had no rules, no regulation. I had no guidance. I'll just put it out there. I took acid in seventh grade in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Like we were just kind of all over the place. Like all the kids that were not, talk about lock-key kids, right? We were beyond lock-key kids. Okay. Luckily I didn't like drugs. Luckily I didn't like sleeping around. But I did end up having bulimia from the time I was 17, 20, because I was so miserable inside. And then what happened is I thought, well, I think I'll just get married. That will solve all my problems, because subconsciously I'd seen it in all the movies. And I thought, well, that will just do the trick, you know? So I got married and I got pregnant right away. And I actually had a stillborn. I was full-term stillborn. When I was 22, I had a full-term stillborn. And that was my awakening moment. It was the day after I gave birth to his body. And I went back to the mortician's house alone. And I was in this cold, dark room with just his body. And I was all alone. My parents didn't fly in. You know, I would just was there. And I was like, how could life be so cruel? And if there is a God, which now I recognize there is not a God, we are all God, that how could God be so cruel? And in that moment, I committed fully to figuring out what the fuck we were doing in this life. And I realized that we're not these bodies. We're not these bodies. And so I had no money. I waited tables. I saved every dime I could have. I did my spiritual work on one side and I ended up buying fixer-upper beater homes and I saved $1 million.
Wow. Okay. Someone's going, wait, what? $1 million? What was that journey like from going, being surrounded with a very probably limited money mindset? There was not money. There was not abundance. That wasn't the reality of your truth at that point. How did you then create this mindset of allowing and receiving this new truth, even for $1 million to be floating around your universe?
Well, let's just get it clear that even if you've saved $1 million does not mean that you have an abundance mindset.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. Yes.
So it was a journey. So one, yes, I began to dive into all spiritual work and all self-help work and all that stuff. I had another child. He's 24 now. And I began to become obsessed with self-development and obsessed with how do I become successful. So I did literally save $1 million, but I hoarded $1 million, meaning that there is a flow when it comes to money. So there's a real balance between building assets and letting money work for you, but also being in flow. And I had not learned that yet. Mm. So just because somebody has money does not mean that they have an abundance mindset.
Thank you for clarifying that. I love that. Yes. It's a beautiful way of saying it.
Yep. So over time, what happened was I felt like I was living a double life. I was working my ass off, saving every dime I could make. And I would do my spiritual work in one part of my life. And I would do my investing and stuff in the other side of my life. And I began to become more and more miserable when I was in my investing and money part of my life versus my spiritual work. And I began to do more and more of my spiritual work, because what happens as an entrepreneur is at first you work really hard and you don't make a lot of money. So your money is like way down here. And then you begin to get passive income and you work less and your income goes up. So as I began to have more and more time, I had all passive income. I remember at one point in time, I had $40,000 passive income coming in per month. Amazing. So all I did was my spiritual work. And I began to be able to actually begin to work with clients. I actually worked with high-end celebrities. And in 2008, when the last economical, suicide happened, was I handed everything over to my spiritual work. I had already been doing it for years, but I said, I'm not doing any of this investing anymore. I don't care about it. I don't care about fixing homes up or doing any of those things. And I handed it over, and that was 12 years ago. Before that, I'd been doing it for, quite some years, but, 75% of the time, 50% of the time, things like that.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. How did you trust in that shift? Was there any key moment for you? Was there any key breakthrough for you around the limiting beliefs that you had or the trauma work that you distinctly remember? Like, I will never forget the biggest belief that I busted through.
What was it?
For me, it was love and money. So I believed, because in my trauma work and my subconscious, I had formed the belief that I could either have deep, passionate love or money, and that it was either or. And so I was in this pivotal time in my life where I was engaged and about to marry the man of my dreams, who is now my husband. And I was really in this struggle where I was continually hitting this brick wall when it came to attracting money and clients and building my finances. And I realized that because I'd formed this belief, I thought that me then receiving money meant giving up this love and passion in my life. And I never wanted to do that, because love comes first for me. And when I remember screaming, like it was like an eruption out of my body. And as soon as I busted through that, like I just attract and continue to attract consistent, beautiful, flowing months in my life and my business. So I will never forget that moment. And I know there was other trauma work as well. Yeah. But that was really key for me. Was there any key moment for you?
Yeah, so I do remember, I think it's very common the belief that you had. And mine was that I either could attract very wealthy men that were, that I just wasn't that into.
feel you on that one.
Or men that were hot messes, but hot. Right.
Oh my gosh. I like going through all of these things that I used to go on now in my head.
I think it's a cultural collective, right? And we're mythological types. We're types. Okay. So there's certain types that are going to identify and go, oh my gosh, I have that same thing. There's other mythological, there's types, if you will. Some other people will be like, I've never dealt with that. It's very common. There's a certain type that we deal with that all the time. So for me, I was very codependent for many years, meaning that I placed my happiness and joy in whatever relationship I was in, which meant I was also a disaster because it also became my source of suffering. So for me, I think that just doing, it was not a moment for me when it came around that it was actually not in subconscious work where that epiphany came from. The true, because it all happens with a powerful decision also, right? So for me, it was my last very, very dysfunctional relationship, which was, you know, I don't know how many years ago, like 8 years ago now it's been. And he was a Grammy winning drug addict. I mean, he wasn't a drug addict. He'd fall off the wagon. He was sober when I was with him, he'd fall off the wagon. And the amount of insanity and cheating and everything, that it just was like, it's done. Like, and so I get that for me, it's just a power. It can be a powerful decision. Sometimes it happens in that subconscious process. And sometimes the universe is trying to have you have a wake up call by having you slam down into the, you know, ground. Right. So for me, that's when that moment came. I just would no
one was that life. What was that moment? That moment that you, was there a new belief that was formed in that moment? Like, it is done. And so it is. What was the new belief that you carried on from that moment onwards?
Yeah. I mean, the belief is that there is only extraordinary human beings in my life, period.
Mm. Yeah. That's amazing. And you are
not that he's not an extraordinary, we're all extraordinary human beings, but meaning that people that have done their inner work, that truly believe in creating harmony and not a bunch of shenanigans or discord or insanity. I believe everyone's divine. Everyone's God. I send him love every day. I loved him a lot and I still will love him, but he doesn't belong in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you attract the extraordinary on a daily basis. And I see that in your life every single day, because that is your truth. Yeah. Have you found with, let's really speak into money in this, with every up level, has there been a new belief that has come up that you've had to bust through? Oh, have you noticed that?
I think I love business because I believe that, you know, business development, spiritual development, and I mean, I run a big group, as you know, Soulciety, and we train women around the world in becoming spiritual leaders and coaches. And look, it's my they're in a program. I am in the program. Like, that program is my program. I get developed and I'm challenged in so many different ways. Imagine you're training a bunch of women around the world. You know, we've got almost 50 ambassadors now around the world. So, wow. We have, it's like personalities, and you got to get clear of what your principles are. So for me, yeah, I mean, yes, you got to break through the mindset about money, but there's so many things. It's like in anything in life, you have to know exactly who you are. You have to know exactly what principles you live on. You have to know exactly that you can never make anyone wrong because it's never going to work out well. You've got to just come back to truth, come back to principles that you live by individually as a company and as a community. And so, God, I mean, you kidding? It's never ending. Business is the greatest spiritual practice ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mindset work and business and strategy go just as much hand in hand. If not, the mindset work is more important. And so many times I can't tell you that I was like, give me the next strategy. Maybe that will help me with the next strategy. And I was like, no. Universal law of attraction was like, go do your mindset work. That is the foundation to everything.
Everything.
Do you have a set of principles? Do you write them out, or is it just a universal truth that you live by?
Oh, no, we have rules and principles that we live by as a community. For example, you know, that we never ever triangulate or gossip or make anyone wrong. We always, you know, if you have a problem with somebody, you don't go to that person. It's your own problem. You learn how to deal with your own triggers, and you learn how to put boundaries and accept people, places exactly as they are. We do have principles of how you communicate and ways of communicating. It's about creating what you want to create instead of what is a problem. You focus on what you want to create instead of the problem. They're just metaphysical basics of life that we go through. So yeah, I mean, the more I've had to get very clear of my own principles, and in that, there's not one problem. We don't have any problems anymore. No problems.
Amazing. Do you have universal principles for money in your life now that you have set as a standard for yourself?
Yes. So money works just like universal law. Whatever you plant the seed on, it multiplies abundantly. So you want money, of course. Cash flow is everything, and you've got to get in flow, service, and receiving money. giving service and receiving money, giving value where you want to get value. But there's also, we want to create assets, because assets is what, you know, which is basically, if you think about with anything, the women that I'm training and becoming ambassadors are my assets. They take out my work exponentially, right? They tear out truth exponentially. We also want to create assets in the brand, and the brand multiplies exponentially. So just like an investment, you know, you don't want to buy a bunch of liabilities and it's just like buying something that's sucking your energy. It applies to money as well. You don't want to buy a bunch of liabilities. In fact, if you did, then this financial, downturn will be a slaughterhouse for you, right? So the same principles apply. The principle is you want to get cash flow, you want to bring service and value, and you want to buy assets and not liabilities. You want to compound your everything from your wisdom to your brand, to your money. You want to have it compound in interest and go out exponentially, and you want to reap the rewards.
I love that you're using terms. So many people here are from financial advisors, and I know that you've worked in finance and, you know, having assets and property, but I love that you're merging it with the spiritual. Right. That we can compound, that our coaching is an asset. It's just a beautiful way of actually looking at it.
But that's how everything you can watch it in your relationship. If you make your husband right and you focus on giving and loving and telling him how great he is, it's going to come back tenfold versus making him wrong, telling him how he should be fixing, changing, altering. It doesn't work. It's going to be, that's going to be a liability. That's a liability thinking.
And the same is true with how you treat money. You are in a relationship with money, and the more that you push it away, the more you criticize it, the more you try to hoard it and hold on to it, the less flow is going to be created around it.
And it's also, I think the biggest shift people have with money is two things. One is we take inventory. So where have you handed your power over to money? Where have you made money your source? Where have you said you can't do something because of money? Or where, you know, have you sold yourself out for money? So it's really about taking your power back and recognizing that you're worth more money than all the money in the world. And you're able to create. Money's a facade. It's worth nothing. Money's worthless. It's a facade that we created an illusion around. And so we have to really take our power back around money, make our amends to ourselves and to others around money, because it's a mental game. And the next is recognizing, you know, what is the motivation? Because money, why would you want money? There's nothing, money doesn't do anything. So what is it that you really want? Why? And what's really going on with money?
I don't even want to ask another question, because I feel like that is the point in which I want everyone to go and journal on. I think those 3 points that you just made, and it's specifically the why. What is it? What is the truth behind the desires that you have? Because that could be one of the biggest breakthroughs that anyone has who's listening, is to go away and really figure that out. So before they go and do that, can you please share, because you have so many beautiful ways for people to connect with you. How can they find you? How can they work with you? Uh-huh.
Thank you so much. So I'm across all social media. I'm Dr. Erin TV, which is DREREIN.TV. And then you can find Inner Circle, all the free content, everything on the website, which is Soulciety, which is SOULCIETE. And I've got a free podcast. I've got free apps. You can get the free book, free meditations, free. We have like a zillion freebies, all kinds of stuff. So binge the podcast, get the free book, guided meditations, all that stuff. It's all good.
I have to pitch your book right now because I have it in front of me, Awakening. Erin gave this to me, I don't know, 2 years ago now, and it is still one of the best self-development books, I promise you, I have ever read. Mm-hmm. I remember the first moment I ever opened up the first chapter and I just went, oh my gosh, yes, because it was speaking to my soul. So everyone, go get Awakening. I think it's available on Amazon, right, for people. And dive into that and use your time that you now have on your hands wisely. Yeah. And this is one of the books I recommend reading.
It's a 40 guide, which is fun because people can do the guided meditation with it and read one little chapter a day. I just like little books like that. I don't want to I want it to be like little chunks that I can do. So it's really fun. You're so sweet and you're so amazing. And you're, you know, we've known each other now for years and you always, you're always just a light. You're very supportive of everyone, and you're a badass. You know, you've grown exponentially. You really know the core work, and I'm really proud of you. And you're, look at your brand. You're like on brand today.
Thank you.
White and whatever.
For those that can't see me right now, just listening on the podcast, I'm like white microphone, white headphones, perfect pink sweater. So totally on brand. But so is Dr. Erin. Go check out her social media. And she is just a source of light and inspiration at all times. So thank you for living your truth. Because as you said, I've known you for years. And she really does represent and live by her truth.
And so I don't know if I said, but I'm doing a prayer call Monday through Friday for 11 minutes each day. So you can get it for free also. It's super important to get our mind right. Praying not to some man in the sky, but praying to expand our consciousness to awaken the innovation and the truth within.
Thank you, Dr. Erin.
Yeah, thank you.
If you loved today's episode, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button, because women supporting women is my jam. And if you want extra daily doses of motivation, then be sure to follow me on Instagram @girl_unfiltered. And go ahead and screenshot this episode, send me a DM, and share your biggest takeaway, because I love hearing from you and I just really want to drop into your DMs, basically. So I'm sending you so much love and abundance, and have an amazing day.